Perry Congressman Tim Walberg joins us just about every Friday. What's going on, Tim?
Well, it's a nice hot summer day again.
Toasty.
Beautiful pure Michigan, and out by Williams Lake, I'm sure it's beautiful. A lot's going on. I think the positive thing, we had of course, we don't meet but virtually for our committees in the House. The Senate's able to meet live, and a lot of other places are meeting live now, and yet for some reason Speaker Pelosi still doesn't want us to meet live. So we had a virtual hearing yesterday, markup of six bills. One of those was mine. My prime co-sponsor was Bobby Rush from Chicago, and it established a new position. Not so much the new position, but the new status of the position of a Deputy Secretary for Cybersecurity in the Department of Energy that will be a cabinet-level, Senate-confirmed position, which I think gives much more punch and oversight to all that's going on cyber. You just think of what's taken place in the last few weeks with the Colonial Pipeline hack, with what took place with the meatpacking industry, and then the events that took place in Texas and California due to weather. All of that is in the area of energy, cybersecurity that needs to be dealt with. So I was glad we could get that and several other bills dealing with cybersecurity yesterday, four, to be specific, that were bipartisan, passed the Energy and Commerce Committee, and now will go to the full House. So some things were accomplished, but other issues going on. The massive, massive fraud in the unemployment insurance supplemental checks that have been given out. $400 billion were confirmed yesterday, at least, of fraud. That's almost half of what totally has been sent out. And it's equal to the wages for the Army and the Navy combined. And that's fraud that's been taken in by gangs, by cartels that have hacked in. And initially, the state governments felt that the checks needed to be sent out as quickly as possible under COVID issues, the feds as well. But since that time, we've added, you know, the $400 supplemental, and now the $300 supplemental. And it's sad to think that taxpayer dollars are being used at a clip of $400 billion by fraudulent actors. So that's something we have to get a hold of. Number one, I think we have to follow the lead of more than half of the states in the union now that are ending accepting the supplemental checks, because they need to get people back to work, because people aren't going back to work. And this week, in questioning the labor secretary in another hearing in education and labor, I expressed my disbelief that he has not recognized the fact that these unemployment supplemental checks that are going out are inhibiting people from making a decision to go back to work. And we found out 9.3 million jobs lack anybody to fill them right now. And that's primarily because people are saying, I make more, or at least equal, by my government checks by staying at home than if I would go to work. And that's a moral crisis, ultimately, that we're producing when people feel that the government is responsible for taking care of them, and they're going to take the checks as opposed to going back to work and produce and help the economy by making sure that their employer stays viable and thus their job stays viable for themselves and for others in the future.
The cyber fraud is more glaring than anybody ever dreamed of, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we've dreamed of it, but we haven't taken the action necessary. And I think now it's being pushed in a way that government is going to get involved with the private sector, learning from Consumers Energy. You and I have talked about that before, that, mm-hmm. that they have thousands of attacks that they're able to stop. The ones they don't stop, so far, they've been able to work around it and get back in a place that we haven't even noticed it in our energy. But we can learn a lot at the federal level, the governmental level, from the private sector and what they've had to do. But I think on the other side, the governmental sector can give them, the private sector, some added punch through our defense capabilities and some of the things that we know there and learn there and intelligence gathering that we have about the bad actors. So I think it's going to force us finally to get a better cooperation between the federal, state, and private sector businesses of our country to get a handle on it. Plus, I would hope that President Biden in his G7 meetings this week will talk significantly about that with our other partners and how we go after Russia, whether it's actual state attack coming from Russia or whether it's bad actors and hackers living within Russia itself or China and what they're attempting to do. This is a world problem, but of course America is what we're concerned about, and the impact upon us can have ramifications worldwide. So hopefully that will be part of their discussion as well, and the sanctions that were lifted on Russia and some of the waivers put in place, including a pipeline that's bringing more carbon-polluted fuels to Germany than they would get coming from us, exporting in ourselves like we were doing up until our president gave a waiver to a pipeline in Russia and Ukraine and did away with the pipeline here in the United States. And yesterday we heard the tragic news that the contractor for the Keystone Pipeline has said, I'm walking away. It's done. We're finished. We're not going to build it. And those are thousands and thousands of jobs and impact that we have in being totally independent from the world's oil and natural gas. So those are things I think are very concerning, and I'm hoping that our administration will wake up to the fact of what's happening.
Group of lawmakers, a small group, bipartisan, with a apparently an infrastructure package. Is that positive?
Probably not. The negotiations have broken down several times already in the Senate, and that's where the primary negotiation is taking place because Nancy Pelosi has basically said we're going to accept the president's plan, which is $6 trillion. That's the budget, $2 trillion for the infrastructure. The Senate offered a $920 billion offer that was rejected. The House's offer, House Republicans offered a $460 billion, totally paid for with unused COVID relief funds that have already been authorized, as well as normal transportation dollar funding. So I'm hopeful that we don't move much beyond that, and if there's negotiation, it comes at least between the, say, $500 billion and the $900 billion. I don't think there is the punch there when you see people like Joe Manchin saying things about the excessive cost of spending and the loss of jobs, and even in his home state, dealing with energy sector and the infrastructure that will be destroyed there. I'm hoping that sanity prevails. Sure, we could spend a lot of money on infrastructure alone. The president put so much other daycare, childcare, Green New Deal stuff in his plan that's not infrastructure, and it should be laughed at or cried at, one of the two. But we need infrastructure, but we also have to understand we're $23 trillion in debt right now, and we've spent on COVID unbelievable amount of money, and a lot of it, as I said, has been wasted, including that unemployment insurance, a supplement that's been wasted. And so I think we have to draw in our priorities and say for the time being, we're not going to be able to do every infrastructure project we want to do, but we're going to do the main priorities and show some sanity for our future generations rather than melt down our economy. And we've seen the inflation rate go up historic proportions. We haven't had seen this rate of CPI inflation growth since 1992. And the closest one to that would be 2008 with the financial meltdown that took place then. Why do we want to go back that direction? We just keep spending money that we have to print and we don't have. That reduces it. Gas prices, you and I have seen, on average since last May, a 50% increase in the price at the pump. That's going to continue by what we're doing, and it'll expand even further, and that's not the right direction to go. Our food costs have increased by almost 4%. That impacts jobs, that impacts wages, and you can keep adding arbitrarily inflated wages to people, but they're going to keep paying more, so it's not going to benefit them. And that, I hope we can start to get some sanity on back in Congress and do our best to draw in now that COVID is basically over at this point in time. The vaccinations have had their impact. People are getting back into the real world again. Let's open up the economy and begin fighting back.
But we have a free fishing weekend. You can go fishing free.
Well, I bought my license. I continue to do that because that's one of my favorite pastimes is to get out on a Sunday afternoon and do a little fishing. But I'd encourage people to take their kids fishing on the free fishing weekend, take them to a spot where they know they can catch some fish, and you'll have a fisher person for the rest of their lives.
There you go. Hey, thanks, Tim. Have a good weekend.
I'll do that, and you too.
Tim Wahlberg from beautiful downtown Tipton.